Hello, friends. It's time to drop the needle on another episode of Supersonic Chat. This is the music podcast, often full of debate, joust, and thought experiments, but always full of entertaining chat. My name is Adrian Warhope.
And I'm Leon Leroux. Adrian, as the keeper of the questions and the crafter of the conundrums for our very Aussie-flavoured show, how could we possibly get more Australian today? With our accents that must appear so exotic to our listeners from across the seas, what could we possibly bring at home and abroad that could get more down under than we already are today, mate?
Leon, I'm fully keen to dive in today. I'm ready to celebrate. This is NAIDOC Week in Australia. We'll explain a little bit more about that soon. But firstly, I wanted to acknowledge that the traditional owners on the lands on which I record this podcast are the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, who lived and thrived on these lands for thousands of years prior to the arrival of the white settler, who just happened to arrive uninvited, made themselves at home. And I pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging. How about you, Leon?
And where I'm recording is actually the traditional owners are the Yugambeh people. I actually recently went and learned a lot about them. I went on a bit of a tour of some of the natural landscape here, and I found it really fascinating and also pretty humbling. And I reckon, as an Australian, I reckon it's everyone's duty to pay respect to the traditional owners of this land on which we now live.
Absolutely. And the challenge this week for this episode was easy, because really we just wanted to celebrate the culture and the music of the Australian Indigenous people and dive in to areas and songs where we may not have done so before. So first, NAIDOC Week. This episode will be coming out in NAIDOC Week. That's typically the beginning of July, extends for a week. It's a massive week for Australian and Aboriginal people, and there's lots of events and celebrations, and it's all about the history, culture, achievements of Indigenous people, and it's really celebrated more broadly now. So not just our Indigenous brothers and sisters, but a lot of non-Indigenous Australians also celebrating NAIDOC Week. What is NAIDOC Week? Hasn't always looked like it does today. Originally, NAIDOC Week, or we used to celebrate Aborigines Day, which sounds a little politically incorrect, but it was Aborigines Day on the Sunday before Australia Day. And that was up until 1955. And then it moved to the first Sunday in July. And the National Aborigine Day Observance Committee, NAIDOC, was formed. And in 1974, they said, hell, let's make it a week. And it's a celebration which turned from a day before Australia Day into now a full week of celebration in July. And in the 90s, they added our brothers and sisters from the Torres Strait Island. And so NAIDOC, National Aborigine and Islander Day Observance Committee, was born NAIDOC Week. And so as part of our interest in music and interest in culture and curiosity, right? I just thought we could dive in and celebrate the music and culture of our Indigenous brothers and sisters. So what I did, I made a playlist of a bunch of tunes that I love, and I shared it with you, Leon, and I thought we could just chat about awesome Indigenous music and see how we go.
That's so good. And just for a bit of context for any of our overseas listeners, like, the Indigenous Australians aren't just one homogenous group of people. They're actually, like, really rich in diversity. Like, most pretty much all Australians know this. But they, just for anyone who happens to be listening from overseas, there was over 500 groups of people, and they're described as separate nations. And to give perspective on this, that before European invasion, there were over 250 languages spoken and over 800 dialects. And to say that's an enormous number of nations. And it's unfortunate, extremely unfortunate there, that there's all but 13 of these languages that are considered endangered, and some are just gone forever. So, and because the Indigenous language was never written down, the culture is actually passed down through mostly through story and song and dance and images. And so I was super glad that we had this idea to talk about this music and sort of spread the word a little bit, just to people who may not necessarily have grown up with this like we did. And I had a great time listening to all this stuff.
Awesome. As did I. And we should dive into the first track, because this band, get this, They won the Australian Music Prize, which is a $30,000 prestigious prize given to what is essentially the best Australian album of the year, you know, equivalent to UK's Mercury Prize. The aim of it is to reward and increase exposure for Australian musicians, right? Best contemporary music album in any calendar year. Won by King Stingray. Incredible band, King Stingray. And I shared with you the track Milk Umana on their debut album from 2022 called King Stingray, which another prize they've won. They just won the 2023 Vanda and Young Global Songwriting Competition with this song.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So these guys are like award-winning, you know, mainstream Australian rock band doing incredibly well. What'd you think of this track?
Get straight out of the gate. What a song to open with. To me, this thing is danceable. It feels right out of the 70s. It's got fun. Strummy guitars, funky bass.
Yeah.
And I love what strikes you immediately when you listen to this song is the use of the First Nation language.
Yeah.
Which as an Aussie, like, that's totally and instantly recognizable.
Yes.
And in a sense to me, like, I almost reckon that the Aboriginal language kind of created the Aussie accent. That's what I reckon anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's true. Yeah. It is so instantly recognizable. And I have just such a strong affinity and a growing affinity for it. I thought it was awesome. And also this song's part in English. So it's got part English, part language. It's very cool. So just to set the scene, King Stingray, they're from the Yolngu people of Northeast Arnhem Land. And they kind of describe themselves. So which is up near the central north of Australia, the Northern Territory, right up in the middle there. They describe themselves as like surf rock. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. Like, I get that.
I wouldn't call it surf rock.
No, like indie rock, danceable indie rock. It's got the jangly guitars. Yeah, loved it. Loved it. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I loved it. And a couple of the cool things about this band is that they kind of descend from Indigenous musician royalty. So there are members of, you know, previous Yothu Yindi members. They're the sons of.
Right.
So we'll talk a bit more about Yothu Yindi later on.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, this song is super catchy. I really enjoyed it. It was getting me singing. Milkumana, Wanganteri. And I did a little bit of digging, and apparently Milkumana means to show, share, or pass on knowledge through stories and songs. Brilliant. So again, a great song to kick it off with. Because that's exactly what strikes me about the Aboriginal culture is that's how they pass knowledge, and for thousands of years too.
It's awesome. Did you clock the film clip? Did you have a look at the film clip at all?
No, I didn't. Is it good? What's it like?
It's awesome. Go check it out. It's kind of got a story, and in it, without giving too much away, but in it there's a guy on the beach who passes over some clapping sticks, which are Indigenous musical instruments, clapping sticks, to the singer in King Stingray, and that's kind of symbolic, right? Hence Milkumana, sharing knowledge or passing on expertise or whatever it is.
Oh, cool.
I thought it was really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah It was great
symbolism there. That's awesome, man.
So I highly recommend, grab the record, dive in. The rest of it's awesome as well. And stick it in your playlist.
Well, it certainly whet my appetite. It was cool.
Yeah. Loved it. And I tried to pick songs from artists that I really like, and also artists that did sing in Indigenous language or sang about, you know, really hard hitting concepts and all sorts of stuff. But
Came through.
Yeah. Well, hence into the second track we chose, which was Better in Black by Thelma Plum. This is an ARIA award-winning album, and it was nominated for the Triple J Album of the Year. And also the 2019 Australian Music Prize. And this song came ninth on the Triple J Hottest 100. What do you think of Thelma's track?
Well, musically, This is my least favorite because it's just really pop and studio polished and predictable structure and stuff. And so it just doesn't fit into my wheelhouse of stuff that I like. However, I did warm to this and listen to it with pleasure for several reasons. I love how the Indigenous community coins the word black, B-L-A-K,
yeah,
as representative of the specifically of Aboriginal culture. And it's like, it feels like a word that they own and is like a source of pride and connection that they have. And and also I get the sense it's not a word that I can use as a white guy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yes. it's something that is owned by Indigenous culture and is a source of pride. And yes. I love how that word is worked into this song. And this song seems to be about Plum feeling that her cultural nationality has been denied to her by the culture in which she lives, like in Australia.
Yeah.
And when she's like tempted just to say nothing about it, and then it's just like, no, I'm going to take pride in my heritage. And like, even though I'm like a white middle-aged dude, I've got no idea what that might feel like. But when she's singing, "I look better in black," that makes me go, hell yes.
And
the message that was being sung, I was kind of like, this is cool. This is really cool. And she's got a voice, man. She's got a voice. It's really nice.
Yeah. I, you know, Thelma is, she's a Gamilaroi woman who grew up in Brisbane. And this song just shows strength and rawness and honesty and it's vulnerable. And I love indie pop. Like, this is a wonderful.
Yeah, you do. I mean, it's right in your wheelhouse.
Right in my wheelhouse. Like, this is wonderful indie pop, you know, and it just showcases her strength and her wonderful vocal. And you're right.
The thing that really always turns me off about pop, though, is when it's inauthentic. And when there's not a serious, but when there's not a genuine message there, this thing has both.
When it's a little disposable.
Exactly. And and this doesn't feel like that at all, which is, again, why I ended up, even though it's not like in the kind of music that I would listen to, I got pleasure from listening to this song because you can tell that it's real, it's genuine. And like, you know, when she's adding the phrase, fuck that in the song.
Yeah.
Where she's deciding to take agency, I'm like, this has got a bit of grit. This has got some like courage to it, and I quite like it. I liked it.
Yeah.
Even though it's pop, I was like, this is cool. It's really great. Cool.
I like when she her lyrics are posed in the form of questions. Do you know what it feels like to be told you're never right? If I had lighter skin, maybe I would win. You know, does it make you want to think? All that sort of stuff. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. Yeah.
She's awesome. I look forward to hearing more from Thelma Plum. And that brings us on to the next song. And wow, this is such a striking, beautiful song. It is the song Weirtool by Gurumul. Weirtool means longing for a place, you know, and this song explains the importance of, it talks about, I looked up the translation because the song is completely in his Indigenous language.
Yeah,
but it talks about the orange-footed scrub fowl and its importance to his Gumach nation, you know. And,
cool.
And let me set the scene because Jeffrey Gurumul Yunupingu, you know, and since he died, we refer to him as Dr. G. Yunupingu, but Gurumul, he was actually, get this, born blind.
What?
Born blind on Elko Island off the coast of Arnhem Land in Northern Territory. And he's a member of the Gumach clan of the Yolngu people. And he was like a multi-instrumentalist who sort of picked it up through, you know, cultural immersion with his people. Again, you might notice the name Yunupingu, Mandawoy Yunupingu of Yothu Yindi, and actually one of the lead members of King Stingray is of the similar clan.
Talented family, far out.
Talented family, but born blind, plays a right-handed guitar, left-handed, so strung upside down.
Yeah. Know, right? Yeah, I read that he plays it upside down. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just incredible.
That's pretty cool.
Yep, he kind of played in Yothu Yindi, and then he played in this other sort of reggae band called the Saltwater Band, and then this amazing TAFE teacher was up in the Arnhem Land area encouraged him to make a solo album, and this legend was born of Grumel making this beautiful, transcendental, spiritual music. It's incredible.
Yeah, well, this guy instantly gave me kind of Tracy Chapman vibes.
Ooh, good.
You know, it was like
voice and a guitar.
It's just beautiful, exactly. And it just opens with just beautiful hummed harmonies, you know. Mm. And it's just simple, but it grabs you instantaneously. It's super good. And like, incidentally, like this thing's about kind of it's about sense of place and all that, to me, I just love that. And what it reminded me of is that place. There's so many place names in Australia that are Aboriginal names, and I like how a lot of names that were called English names are now starting to get called the traditional names again. Like, it didn't take long to get used to calling Ayers Rock Uluru, and it's like, yes, of course it should be called that. And in Queensland recently, Fraser Island is now called Kagari, like it should be. Yeah. And Stradbroke Island is now called Minjeriba. And to me, the more places I reckon that can have original names claimed back, the better. And that's just sort of something it reminded me of. I was reminded of when I was listening to this song. But man, this singer is so excellent. His soul comes through.
Yeah.
It's just clearly and sharply.
It is transcendental. It's fragile, but it's powerful at the same time.
Yep.
You know, I love it. The incredible thing about Grumel is a lot of his songs deal with they're quite spiritual, and they sing of traditions, stories, and clan beliefs. You know, they're not songs of protest or political songs or anything like that. They're just beautiful cultural songs, all sung in his indigenous language. And he's traveled the world playing this, and people like Quincy Jones and the royal family and all kinds of people have experienced this music, and all have had that same reaction around its unusual, striking, transcendental kind of voice and song. Really powerful stuff. And just on the sad note, Grumel, he was only 46 when he passed away from liver and kidney disease.
Man.
What a shame. We'll speak a bit more about that later on, I think. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Cool. What do you got next, man?
Well,
what do we got next?
From the beautiful cultural traditions of Grumel straight into the hard-hitting powerhouse that is AB Original. And their song, January 26th.
Yeah, I love this. Was my favorite of all the songs.
It's so
not
good.
Just because the music, is awesome, but to me, it strikes a chord in my heart that I've been feeling for ages.
Yep.
For all of our overseas listeners, this song is called January 26th because it is the date of Australia Day, which is like the equivalent, I guess, of 4th of July if you're in the US.
Yep.
And it's like a celebration of the nation. And the date marks the landing of the first fleet with Captain Arthur Phillip. And it essentially means it's the first day that non-Indigenous people started living on this land.
Yeah.
And I used to actually feel pretty joyous about that date. Like, I love this country with all my heart and felt that it represented the love of that country. But since learning how the Aboriginal people felt about it, I'm like, nah, I changed my view completely.
Yeah.
Like, the original inhabitants of the land call it Invasion Day, and these days, so do I.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a day to celebrate being Australian is essential.
Yes.
But we've got to be together. Like, if the Indigenous people don't feel that way when they've been living here for 50,000 years, then, and if they feel excluded by the date, change it.
Change it.
Who cares?
Seriously.
Just
it hasn't even been that long. I think since the 90s. The 90s was when it was made a public holiday or something. It's just, you know.
That's right. That's right. And it's and in fact, I was reading about this because I was listening to this song, and The roots of NAIDOC itself comes from 1938, when the Indigenous people demanded to be recognised as citizens, and they staged a protest in Sydney on January 26th, the very first day that Australia Day was recognised in parts of the country, on the 150-year anniversary. And on day one, the Aboriginal people have had a problem with this choice of date, so just change it. You know?
Like, I know.
Dead set.
And I love the analogy. So the two members of AB Original are an awesome rapper, a creator, you know, storyteller called Adam Briggs.
Yes.
And and another producer called Trials. So both members are Indigenous. Briggs is a Yorta Yorta man, and Trials is a Narangeri man. It's overtly political, and I love – so it's rap, right? We're talking about rap. It's a rap track. It's just hard-hitting rap track. And I love the analogy they use about imagine if we had a day to celebrate the death of your nan and your relatives, and we went to your nan's grave, and we pissed on her grave, and we had a party up on her grave. Like, they go, we don't actually want to – have a party on your nan's grave or piss on your nan's grave, but that's how it makes us feel to celebrate this day when everyone came 100%. In from Europe and just started, you know, taking over, invading, and there was deaths and everything changed. Why do we celebrate January 26th? And I think they knew this would be polarizing, this would be hard hitting. And Trials kind of says, you know, change doesn't come from people being comfortable. It means, you know, if it means that, you know, people have to get a little uncomfortable, then they're prepared for that. And this song is hard hitting. It's awesome. I said, hey, Briggs, pick a date. Okay. You know what? We can celebrate. For sure. But we can come together, talk about the weather, call that Australia Day. I said, how about March 8th? That's a good one. And we can do it on your nan's grave. Oh, that bitch. We can piss up, piss on her face, get lit up and burn out like Mark Skates. The screaming love will leave. Got more reason to be a riff, you can believe it. One salute a constitutional, who's underneath it? Turn that flag to a noose, put a cease to your breathing. I can't get on my whip, I get a ticket for that. I get a DWB, and that's a drive in my split. I turn the other cheek, I get a knife on my back. And I tell them it hurts, they say I overreact. So fuck that. You can call it what you want. Yeah, I loved it. I loved it so much. And like, I know at the top I said that the music's great, and I got to clarify. Normally, actually, I don't listen to rap, but for some reason this gelled with me. And I think maybe this is how Americans feel about American rap, and why I can't care about rap from that country. Maybe my dislike of rap, it's actually more like a lack of cultural connection to the USA. Maybe. Yeah.
Because I actually really enjoyed this. Out of all the songs, the song I enjoyed the most, and I was looking forward to when it played every single time I played this playlist. I was just like, yeah, here it is. This is awesome.
This is the one.
But I like it. It is great.
Yeah, and Briggs is cool. He's actually done some stuff with Matt Groening, he did some writing, not for The Simpsons, but what was that, Enchanted or something? He had a animated series?
Disenchantment.
And Briggs was involved in doing some writing for that. Like, he's a creative powerhouse. Like, he's a fascinating guy.
Wow.
Fascinating guy. Yeah, really interesting cat.
Well, continuing I've on, loved the hell out of this song.
Yeah, brilliant. Briggs does stuff on his own. And he's done this as a duo with Trials, AB Original. Continuing on the rap kind of stuff is, you know, the next track was Cool As Hell by Baker Boy on his album Gila from 2021. I actually worked on this record, like promoting this record, helping this record when I was at my previous job. He's incredible. The album's incredible. The album artwork is incredible. And you might know Baker Boy from the million menu log ads that he's done. He seems to, for a while, he was everywhere.
Maybe.
On menu log ads. This is a gold single. It's just a cool track.
Wow.
Super cool track. He's a Yolngu rapper and dancer. He kind of transitions between English and his Indigenous language. It just makes me move. It makes me smile. It's an upbeat track. It's not political. It's just a fun, awesome, groovy track. I really liked it. It's the image in the mirror, what you really want to see. It's the person looking back, are you really on track? Are you really on the path to where you want to be? Doing out of nungu, only know me. I ain't in the coma, I really don't sleep. I ain't even tripping every minute that I'm living. I'ma kill it on the rhythm, we can keep it low key. I said, ooh,
You got me feeling myself. Now I put it on you. Cool as hell.
Yeah, I got real Jamiroquai vibes from
Yes.
It was like, it was pretty, I think it's, again, it's not really like the type of music that I would listen to, but again, love the use of native language. And I'd love to know what markup means. That'd be pretty cool to know what that means. But
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's you know, that the indigenous language, again, it's mixed up throughout the song, which is awesome. But every time that singer delivered the word cool as hell, I was like, yeah. You are cool as hell.
Yeah, he's a good cat. His real name's Danzel. Danzel James Baker.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Baker Boy.
Oh, cool name. Cool name.
Yeah, he's a good cat. He was on a million Google ads too. There was some great stuff where he had some indigenous language and he was helping out another indigenous rapper. And anyway, it was really cool. From the sort of the groovy to the soulful, the next track was by a brilliant, brilliant young artist called Budgera. Budgera, B-U-D-G-E-R-A-H.
Budgera. Yeah.
And I included
this voice, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so I purposefully selected the live version of Ready for the Sky because he has one of the most pure voices I've heard in a long time. It's soul pop, right in the middle of the lane. It's soul pop music.
Totally.
But I really wanted to get that live version to capture the pure voice and the artistry. And that vocal gymnastics on the outro just is sweet as... He's a wonderful artist. Did a lot with Matt Corby. Matt Corby had done a lot of production and stuff.
Okay. Well, this whole sound is just cruisy. Somehow it reminds me of like 60s soul or something.
Yeah.
And this sounds like tubular bells being played in the background or something like that. dong, dong kind of thing. It's just cool. But it's just, this music just instantly is like a relaxation switch for the brain.
Yeah.
But it just allows this dude's voice to ring out I made a lot of comparisons to stuff that I'd heard before. Like this one reminded me a little bit of the virtuoso of that is Jeff Buckley.
Yeah.
His voice is like, again, just clear and beautiful, you know?
Yeah.
It's just rich and sumptuous. And even though like it's, again, it's not exactly what I would tune in to listen to. I kind of likened it to when I went to hear Gregorian chants in the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris.
What?
Like, yeah. Like,
I'm not exclaiming because you're making the comparison. I'm exclaiming because I didn't know that you had done that, but continue.
Cool. We went to a Catholic mass, I'm not into this music like I'm not into Catholic masses.
Yeah.
So,
I get it. But it's interesting and wonderful sounds to experience of
this,
it.
But also the sound of this singing is just like it brings shivers to your skin, and this exquisite singing of the Gregorian chant was like listening to Budgera, and it's just like electricity to the soul, invigorating and beautiful. Yep.
Now everybody just wanna be free. The walls are closing in, barricades on the beach. But it's not gonna hold me back. I'm lighting up my fire, turning down into ash. I'm aiming for the sky, please open your mind. I need room to fly, cannot deny. You won't ever clip these wings, not gonna walk over me. I'll prove it over and over again. I'm ready for the sky.
It's great. I saw him play live recently at the Opera House, Sydney Opera House. He was wonderful. I would say he is Jeff Buckley, but is Jeff Buckley meets Sam Cooke, you know, in that classic soul.
Well. Yes, that's awesome. Yeah, totally.
Really cool. Love Budgera. Lots of good stuff coming out from him. The next track was a really interesting artist. They're a fascinating artist. Very fascinating artist. This is Swan Song by Moju. from their album Oro Plata Mata from 2023. Now,
yes,
but just by way of I don't know, setting the scene. So Mojo Rui de Luzuriaga is Moju, formerly performed under the moniker Mojo Juju. That's I knew them from when they were Mojo Juju.
Oh, yeah, right. Yes. Yeah,
did like a lot of, I don't know, rock and roll, soul sort of stuff. But they're a Filipino, half Filipino, half Wiradjuri artist. So a clash of cultures a beautiful melding of cultures. And I purposely picked this track. This track's the closer from the album because it's long and artistic and expressive and immersive and features the beautiful voice of Ethiopian singer Meklit as well. But I just thought the artistry was captivating on this song. The voice and the production was and always interesting. Moju always has interesting stuff, challenging stuff. Really, really captivating stuff.
Well, the soundscape of this reminded me like a soundtrack or something. Like it wasn't sort of so pop focused, but there's like an atmospheric kind of feel to it. And particularly where it comes to like the organ and the backing vocals and the way they work together. And again, the voice is incredible. Mm. But I got the feeling like I'm being on par with Roberta Flack or something. Yeah. Like it didn't jiggle my insides like Bujra did, but it was like, you know, that's probably more of a subjective thing. But you know, it was awesome. But then I was starting to think, like it's talking about the sound of a swan, like the swan song. And I'm thinking, isn't that just like honk, honk? And I'm like, but then I thought I would look it up. And what I found actually blew my mind a little bit. So I'm going to share some sound with you.
Please.
So have a listen to that directly next to that song, and you can hear that there's like, even though the swans have got a little dissonance in there, you can hear the kinds of notes that are going from note to note. I think this is a deliberate decision, either that or it's incredibly coincidental.
Yeah, I loved it. And I imagine you shared the sound, but we could see the vision, which was swans necks intertwining and dancing and moving, two swans moving with each other. Like you get that impression.
Yeah. Yeah. And to me, it was super lyrical in that it when I saw that and heard that, the song made a lot of sense. I just started thinking, okay, this is cool. Cause I couldn't picture what a swan actually sounded like that.
Yeah.
And I think it must've been something like this romantic, beautiful coming together of two swans singing out like that.
I love it. Thank you for sharing. That was super cool. The whole album has an artistic thread. There is a strong story and thread that references a whole bunch of stuff you can dive into as you need it. But I just wanted to celebrate the music of Moju and the sound and the artistry.
Yeah.
It's really worth shining some light on their work. It's fascinating stuff. The eighth track in our playlist was it's a rap track, but it's one that's so striking. This is Bagalam Bargain by Birds, but features Fred Leone. Fred Leone does this striking indigenous language refrain that kind of calls out, and that's the hook of the song. And of course, which just stuck with me. It's haunting and it's beautiful. It's just invigorating and disturbing all at once. I just thought it was thrilling. Really cool hook. And you know, then there's the content of about standing on the shoreline, cook man coming, as in Captain Cook, and you can imagine, put yourself in the shoes of an indigenous person standing on the shoreline, looking out to sea, seeing boats, seeing white men rolling into your lands, and just you know what may happen. you know, great song, fascinating song.
Yeah, well, I found that this song was quite adversarial and speaks to resistance that Indigenous Australians made. And there was an aspect of this history, but like compare it to the violent resistance that a lot of other people like from New Zealand, like with the Maoris or the Native American people in the USA offered to colonization. The Indigenous Australians are actually basically peaceful in spite of the horrid violence and genocide that they were experiencing. But to me, this song captures a feeling of refusing to be assimilated. And I like the feeling I get is like one of defiance.
Yeah.
And like, but like righteous defiance, you know?
Yeah.
And acknowledgement of the insistence of autonomy and agency in the face of brutality. And that to me is pretty great. And it as a rap song, it was predominantly a rap song. So I kind of didn't get into it, but as much as I did AB original, but it was still a cool message, and I enjoyed it a lot. It was good. Baga, baga, baga meranyan, baga meranyan, baga la, baga la, baga la.
Someone I ain't never seen before to say he's a captain of men, but ain't believing our love from the land of the white skin.
Yeah, it was cool. And I would understand, like, rap is, can be a movement, you know, of protest and of a way to speak truth to power and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
Like, I know music generally can be as well, but for certain cultures, they've chosen rap as a vehicle. And I think the Indigenous people.
It seems to gravitate toward that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so I totally understand. Yeah. It's a great vehicle for the message.
Totally. Yeah. It's cool. I agree.
So three songs to go. And just to pause here and say that in each year in NAIDOC Week, there's a theme.
Yeah.
And the committee select a theme. This year in 2023, the National NAIDOC Week theme is For Our Elders, which I thought was a beautiful theme. So I just wanted to sort of, the three final songs are older bands and older artists that I became aware of when I was a kid. And I believe that they're the elders of the artists that we've spoken to up to this point, I would say. So I just wanted to pay full respect to a lot of these groundbreaking artists, you know?
And in some cases, literal elders of, because they're like related.
They're the elders of the clan. So we'll talk about Yothu Yindi, you know, elders of the clan, in which King Stingray are a part of and all that. The first track, the ninth track, but the first of our For Our Elders section of the podcast is, a very famous Australian band called the Warrumpi Band. And this song is Blackfella, Whitefella, which came out in 1985. Yeah. This was one of the first Indigenous songs that I heard, and it was a great message hit me hard as a kid, you know.
It's such a good song of reconciliation. It's like just asking every person to be a person of integrity, like whatever your background, just stand up for what's right. And it's just so plain and awesome, and it's just help people who regardless of who they are. It sounds so simple, but you know what? I reckon in 1985, when this song was created, it was pretty a bit more of a rare idea, particularly for Indigenous people.
Yeah.
Like, love these lines, right? We need more brothers if we're to make it. We need more sisters if we're to save it. Like, in other words, as Australians, if we want to be a good, if we want to stay a good country, we've got to be united.
Yep. Exactly. No, really good. And you know, are you the one that's going to stand up and be counted?
Yes.
Quite interesting at a time when a referendum is happening in Australia later this year. You know, are we going to stand up and have our voice counted? on the decision of, yep. of the Voice of Parliament. But this is, you know, it's yep. great 80s rock. It's great 80s rock. It's sort of like Midnight Oil-esque. And in the history of Australian music, this is an incredibly important song. You know, they're great.
Black fella, white fella, it doesn't matter what your color, as long as you a true fella, as long as you a real fella. All the people of different races with different lives in different places, it doesn't matter what your name is, we got to have lots of changes. We need more brothers if we're to make it, we need more sisters if we're to save it. Are you the one who's gonna stand up and be counted?
These guys formed in the outback settlement of Papunya in Northern Territory in 1980 and, you know, very famous and toured around. And interestingly, one of their backup singers was a young Christine Arnoux, who we will sing about talk about next. We may sing. We'll talk about next. The next track, the next track is just a beautiful, awesome track called My Island Home by Christine Arnoux from her album Styling Up from 1995. I was a teenager. Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant.
Well, this song gave me, you didn't want me to sing. Okay, this song gave me some actual nostalgia, you know, such 90s vibes in the sound.
Big 90s track. You know,
And I didn't know when I first heard it that this was actually a cover until I was listening to it for this podcast and did a little bit of reading about it and found it was actually written by Warrumpy Band.
Isn't that fascinating?
I also
just learned that fact. It was a cover. So Warrumpy Band wrote this. Christine Arnoux took it. Made it her own. So I think she sings about some things that are a little different to the original, but she changed some lyrics. She's a Torres Strait Islander. So some of the lyrics she changed to reflect her circumstances. So rather than moving to a desert, she compares island life to city life. And from the point of view of a woman. But great track. Well,
good. And she's such a good singer. But something that I found out as well is that one of the members of Warrumpy Band wrote it for another member of Warrumpy Band because he lived on a place called Elko Island, and like originally.
Yep.
And he wrote it when he was visiting his island, and wrote it for him, just going, this has affected me. I've written this song for you. And it's just really cool thinking about that, and then how it's then delivered through Christine Arnoux.
Yeah, it's fascinating. This song actually spent 20 weeks in the chart, and it was voted number 47 on the Hottest 100 in 1995.
Whoa.
She's performed this song at the closing ceremony of the Sydney 2000 Olympics, and her rendition, so not the Rumpy Band, but Christine Arnoux's rendition of the song was inducted into the National Film and Sound Archives Sound of Australia. So it's like actually a really important song. It was listed in the APRA Top 30 Australian Songs of All Time in 2001. So, I love this song. It sounded like it should be on the soundtrack to the movie The Beach. Remember that Leonardo DiCaprio movie from the 90s called The Beach?
Probably true. It's got that same vibe.
Mad nostalgia. I just thought it's such a cool, cruisy, incredible track. She sings it so well.
6 years I've been in the city, and every night I dream of the sea. To people, we all
that brings us to the last of the tracks.
Last one.
Yeah, which is probably one of the most famous Australian songs from an Indigenous artist. And this is the song Treaty.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, Treaty by Yothu Yindi. Yep. From their album Tribal Voice in 1991. They're probably the most successful and most recognised Indigenous Australian band, Aboriginal band.
Yeah, I'd agree with
that. Everyone knows this. Yeah. And this song was massive in my youth. Like, everyone knew it. It was huge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Interestingly, the track that I've put on this playlist is not the remix track. So this is like the straight kind of rock track. And then there was this Melbourne duo called Filthy Lucca who kind of took this track and put a dance beat and remixed it, and it blew up. Blew up like huge success.
I don't think I've ever heard that. I've only heard this version, this original one, this shiny 90s sort of sound that we will listen to in this playlist.
Go and listen to the other one.
I've heard any.
The other one's the one that starts with that dance beat that go, you know, it says clap your hands and dance, and it just starts with this dance beat and there's didgeridoo.
Okay. I don't think I ever heard that.
That was the massive chart track. That sort of superseded this one, but this is such a great track. So strong.
Yeah.
Strong voice, strong message. It, you know, cuts through. It was it was the first exposure I had to Indigenous language. Like, you know, I remember trying to sing the breakdown at school and stuff. Like, to me, it felt like I was speaking gibberish, but I guess that's important for a white kid that didn't have any Indigenous friends, like, to be exposed to that.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Totally.
Land. But promises can disappear just like writing in the sand. Treaty, yeah. Treaty now. Treaty, yeah. Treaty now.
Well, this song actually crept up on me in the sense of the message, which was, it's just very direct, like where it says this land was never given up.
Yeah.
This land was never bought and sold. In other words, like, there was never any rubbish trade where the land was forfeited for blankets or something like that.
No.
It was just stolen.
Stolen.
And this was written right after the bicentenary, when there was lots of empty words about reconciliation. And like it says, you know, back in 1988, all those talking politicians, words are so easy. Words are cheap, much cheaper than our priceless land. But promises can disappear just like writing in the sand.
Ugh.
And, oh, man, I was not expecting to be as impacted as I did. And it makes me pretty angry to think about the subject of this song, which is actually something called the Barunga Statement, which was presented to the Prime Minister, then Bob Hawke, in 1988, written on bark. And he promised to have a treaty with the Aboriginal people by 1990, and it just never happened.
Yep.
And the Barunga Statement, it's hanging in Parliament, but even now, 35 years later, no treaty.
No treaty. It is
makes
really
me
important.
Cross. It makes me angry.
Really important.
It makes
to
me really angry.
Point
actually.
Out, there has never been a treaty to say, hey,
no,
our ancestors invaded and didn't do right by you. Let's make it right. Let's just agree some stuff. It's that the Indigenous people aren't in our constitution. They are not recognized as the original inhabitants of this land. Without getting too political, but this is the subject matter of this song.
You
know, it's important. Couple things. Think about this. 1988. We celebrated as a country 200 years of white settlement.
Yep.
And I remember reenactments of First Fleet boats with men dressed up in First Fleet outfits and guns, soldiers and Captain Cook and all that, you know, reenactments of the beach. And then the indigenous people would come down, you know, and welcome them in. And it's like such crap, such crap, like so
propaganda,
so horrible.
Yeah,
we didn't know. I didn't know any better as a kid. Maybe we as a country didn't know any better. You know,
maybe
it's a bit of a cop out, especially when you.
But we know now, so let's just get a treaty happening. Like, read the Barunga Statement. It is pretty fair enough. You read every word and you go, "This is eloquent," and it is fair enough. Yep. Let's just get it happening. Yep. Like, seriously.
And the lyric starts with, "Well, I heard it on the radio and I saw it on the television," and that was like the catch cry. Like, it was everywhere. This that Bob Hawke has visited the Northern Territory. That he went to this gathering in Barunga. That there was this statement that should be made, that there should be a treaty between Black and White Australia. And, you know, sitting around this campfire was when Yothu Yindi started strumming and thought about, "Well, I heard it on the radio and I saw it on the television. Treaty now." Incredible.
Yes.
A couple of other things. Mandawoy Yunapingu, who is the singer in Yothu Yindi, was awarded Australian of the Year at one point for his work on Indigenous rights in 1992. Oh, right. So his work with Yothu Yindi. So Yothu Yindi was so big that the singer got awarded Australian of the Year in 1992. And in 2012, the Australian Recording Industry Association inducted the band into the ARIA Hall of Fame. So that's how important Yothu Yindi are to the Australian music and cultural zeitgeist, like to everything, you know. Really, really fascinating. Last thing I thought was interesting was that Paul Kelly, great Australian troubadour, poet, singer-songwriter, Paul Kelly helped write this song with Yothu Yindi members as well. The Yothu Yindi members, Mandawoy Yunupingu, Kellaway, Williams, Gurumul Yunupingu, all these guys we've talked about, you know, they're from Elko Island. We've talked about Elko Island, the Yolngu people up in Arnhem Land. You know, a lot of great culture coming out of there. It's a powerful song.
Wow.
Yeah, really important.
Same place that My Island Home was all about.
Yep.
And the Warrumbi band are from.
Yep, exactly right. Yep, full on. All like what a place. Baker Boy also from there. Yeah, fascinating.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
This place must be just something about it then.
Well, I just think it's the incredible source of cultural immersion, you know, people living their life, you know, as close to traditionally as they can, you know, the clans and elders passing down story and song. And I think Australia has tried to, you know, certain people have tried to go in and record and celebrate and give and amplify the voices of a lot of Indigenous people. And we should be doing more of it. Hence why we're doing this. I just wanted to shine the spotlight on the incredible culture of the Australian Indigenous people.
Yeah.
Just a couple of things.
Totally.
For me, hearing Indigenous language in songs and hearing Indigenous voices express feelings and sentiments and protest in songs, I just think it really helps Indigenous people take their rightful place in our society.
Yes.
I just think it's a wonderful thing that music makes voices heard, that music inspires change. And all the songs that we've heard today really make me feel proud of our Indigenous heritage, really proud of our Indigenous heritage.
But
equally also makes me feel quite ashamed of our past in some way.
Yes.
And really makes me reassess my beliefs. Particularly things like, our free settlers and our, you know, the English settlers. They just came to settle in Australia, you know, rather than colonizer or invaders.
Or invaders. Sort of thing. Like,
I just thought music is powerful and giving voice to Indigenous people is important.
And so it's, you know, to me it's like education and being aware, and then also just being actively trying to educate yourself. And what better way to engage with the Aboriginal culture by one of the main ways that they pass on knowledge, and that's through song.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh man, I had such fun. I've made a playlist. We'll share the playlist with everyone too, so that people can listen to this.
So good
on your streaming service. Yep. And also hit us up with your favorite Indigenous artists. Before we close out the show, I did want to share a fact of the week with everyone. You up for it, Liam?
Oh, fact of the week. I always love a fact of the week.
This one's I looked at so many facts about the life expectancy and about the life and wellness and health of Indigenous Australians and all that. This is the one that just that gets me. Just one simple thing that I wanted to leave with us. The average life expectancy of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people is approximately 10 years less than that of non-Indigenous Australians. Think about that.
Ugh.
An Aboriginal or a Torres Strait Islander person lives 10 years less than a non-Indigenous person. If only they had a constitutionally enshrined representative body that could advise the government on matters relating to Indigenous people, then we could all make some headway to helping our Indigenous brothers and sisters lead longer and healthier lives. We did get a little political on this one. Even if you hate our politics, and I'm not a political person, I'm just sharing what I feel and believe. But if you are not a political person,
this country, if you love this country, that you can't not love the original inhabitants of it.
Correct.
That's part of the country. It's inextricable. You can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
If you're Australian, if you profess to love Australia, you have to be a champion for the Indigenous inhabitants of this land.
Yes. And regardless of politics, listen to the music, enjoy the music, and celebrate the culture and the songs of our Indigenous brothers and sisters. I hope you enjoyed that. Remember, hit us up on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I want to hear about your favorite Indigenous artist. Tell me more. I'm just dipping my toe in. I want to know more. Let us know. You can send us an email at supersonicchat@gmail.com.
And as always, I super love our super chats of the Sonic variety. And if you do too, then pop over to your podcast provider and ping those stars. Write us a message too if you're that way inclined. And you can tell a friend or a family member about our sparkling show that will no doubt add some musical substance into their lives.
Thank you, Leon. Thank you, listeners. That was a special NAIDOC Week version of Super Sonic Chat.